Okay, welcome to everyone to the Common User Interface discussion session for the Open Ontology Repository. This is Tuesday, September 17th, 2013. Now, I'd like to welcome everyone, especially to Daniel Vail, who is new to our group. Is anyone else new today? Well, Daniel, could you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Daniel Cozovale, and I work at in Bremen at Bremen University, and I will be presenting today some UI design considerations about ontology repositories based on what the ontology repositories that are available online look like. So passing my speech back to Ken.
Great, thanks so much. So the agenda basically consists of Daniel's presentation, and then we're going to open it to a discussion about the possibility of a common UI across open repository instances. Are there any other agenda items anyone would like to add today?
Not for me.
Not hearing any. Peter, did you mention something?
I said nothing from me.
Okay. Any urgent items or quick announcements?
No. Maybe we want to ask people to come join us this Thursday on the Ontology Summit theme brainstorm. So we are trying to brainstorm on what theme would be best for the next Ontology Summit. So please join us this Thursday.
Thanks, Peter. Anyone else? Okay, we have gone through the roll, right? We have a list now of attendees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peter, would it be appropriate for anyone else to introduce themselves, or should we just move on?
Please just move on. The slides are on the, it should be on the page, and the VNC server is also running in case people want to work with the VNC server shared screen. And Daniel, if you announce your slide advance and call out the slide number every time you advance, then I will do the advancing in the background for you.
Okay, great.
Okay, so Daniel, can you begin your presentation now?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for also the invitation to participate in this meeting, and I hope that what I'm going to present turns out to be a bit inspiring and bring some collaboration among the groups. So that is my goal. I hope that this goal fits the purpose of the meeting. And starting with the slide number 2, so I'm going to talk about some particular topics in not about UI in general, but about particular aspects of UI interfaces that we can discuss in the end. One of them is that I'm going to show some screenshots of several ontology repositories so that we can contrast them. I'm going to talk a bit about the recognizability of the website and the structure in which the information of the website is presented, and then go a bit into the kinds of content and the kinds of actions that the website, that two of the websites offer. And then I'm going to talk in particular about OntoHub and BioPortal. And then we can start a bit of a discussion of what a common interface would look like by conceptualizing these elements or UI components as widgets. We are going to see how it works more in the further in the presentation. So so let's go to slide 3. These are some of the ontology repositories that we have on the web. I added WordNet here because they already have some conceptualization of typologies and what they call hypernames and hyponyms, and they are starting to decouple the dictionary from the ontology side, so ontological side. So I've included them too. So the there are 9. We looked at 9 different repositories on the web. And some of them have one single ontology, like schema.org and WordNet. Some of them are a proper repository in the sense that they allow the additions and updates of several ontologies. There is, starting from the from left to right, and then in each line, on the upper left corner, we have BioPortal. The second one is OntoHub. The third one is WordNet. Then on the second line, we have schema.org, W3C ontology repositories, the open biological biometrical ontologies, and then on the third line, Swoogle, Tones, and Vivo ontology repository.
Yeah. Is there any reason why you skipped Colore?
No, there is no reason why I kept I skipped Colore. I made a list with Ken, and I didn't add it to the list for some reason. But then we talked about Colore, and didn't add it to the list while I was formatting the list. It was just a mistake, actually. Yeah. But I haven't looked at Colore for these analyses. So I might add some new information after this presentation to the slides. Okay?
Yes, for the record, actually, amending and adding that back to the page for the archives would be great. Actually,
yes.
if one goes to the URL OR.net, there are a bunch of instances that are sort of part of the OOR network. So although a lot of them are actually BioPortal based and does not offer sort of any variation in terms of the UI, but you can see there are some that actually are slightly different in terms of the UI, for example, the MMI instance and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the issue, I mean, the intention here was just to show the variety rather than to be complete. And when we were discussing this, we found an awful lot of repositories. So this is just showing you the variety.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of repositories are not listed there.
Yes, and also the variety, and that some of them look like other famous websites, and then that's like Swoogle, for instance, is inspired in the interface of Google, and the W3C ontology repository is a wiki, has a wiki format, And then they have a variety of presentation styles. That is also what's taken into account when looking for the list of the ones presented. Yeah. So Colori will be added in the ontology, in the list, and also if when we're doing the analysis for the components of Colori, I will add them to the proper component page followed in the presentation for documentation.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I'm not thinking person. I'm just I was just curious, like, if there were some other criteria you were using.
So no.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah. So then one of the purpose of showing this this first page, as you said, was to show that there are different strategies used throughout a several pages and websites, which we're going to see for in the next sessions. There is a star here on the side of BioPortal, because BioPortal on the current, in its current version, does not fit a monitor which has a resolution of 1024 pixels, I forgot the number. Anyway, it doesn't fit one of the very popular monitor sizes. So I put an asterisk here just to make this remark. All the other websites fit 99% of the monitors that are available.
Excuse me. Question, what do you mean it didn't fit the monitor resolution?
It means that in 9% of the monitors, the width of the website, as you can see there, is larger than the screen.
Thank you.
Yeah. So going to the next slide, which is the fourth slide. When I say logo here in this website, in this page, I mean a drawing plus a name, or a name in a given shape, which is not a common character string. We see that among the websites that we have seen in the previous page, there are some of them have a logo. I mean, a particular written text written in appropriate proprietary format character set, or a drawing plus a character string as an identifier for a website. There is on the other side, there is on the second column, there are the ones that don't have this brand name or logo mark for their websites. It doesn't mean that that is a necessary feature of creating a website, but it tends to be something that that facilitates identifying the website. And for instance, what our work when comparing the websites, I realized, for instance, that OntoHub has a gray name and not on a black bar, and has no icon or symbol representing it. So it makes identifying the website very difficult. And other sites have larger icons, such as the Open Biological and Biometric Ontology. But this is not an icon that is together with a name, and so it does not characterize the logo. But another point that I make here when comparing the names of the websites, OW3 Ontology Repository is a name that is associated with OW3, And but it's a name that does not have a it's not a name of the website or as a product. It is one product of all Double Three with its category. Something like Google Mail or Yahoo Mail or something like that. It has this identification of a group and then a kind of product that they are making, which is not something that is present in the other names. And there is the Obo Foundry, which also has these two parts, Obo with an ontology language, and is Obo an ontology language? Yes.
Actually, Obo is an ontology language.
Yes, so Obo, the ontology language, possibly also the group, and then Foundry as the website for the repositories. So these two are marked just to make a distinction that they have these two components, while the other names don't have these two components. Moving to the forward slide, and talking about the macro structure of the website, there are I grouped them according to three groups, and according to the structure that is created by either the upper bar or by the bar on top of the search field in the case of Sugo. By looking at the labels that are presented as the upper structure of the website, we can see the direction in which the information is organized in the website. The labels in BioPortal are browse, search, mapping, recommender, annotator, resource index, and projects. So it has four labels that refer to some action in the sense of recommender, in the sense that the website is going to recommend to you something, annotator, it is a tool for annotation, search and browse. So it's categorized as that the macro structure has a tendency towards an organization by action. In the case of Sugal and OntoHub, there is the organization of the website is by the content, the kinds of content that is inside of the website. So you have, for instance, in OntoHub, ontologies, symbols, logic, and languages. And inside in Sugal, there is ontology, document, term, and across ontology. So these are it shows that there is this different ways in which the websites are organized. In the other websites, this is not so evident. This division is not so evident. So going further to the next slide. So let's go take a deeper look into the BioPortal actions. So once we go to the filter, to the browse action, we see that it's a kind of filtering that is going to happen, and we can filter the ontologies by category. So there are a series of selectors that allows the user to select to reduce the number of ontologies until the user can find the particular one that they are trying to find, or particular ones that suit their purpose. In the search action, you can search some inside an ontology. There is the action of searching ontologies, or searching terms in an ontology, or searching terms in all resources. So the search tab on the top is also reproduced in three such fields below. If you look at the website on the right side of these, on these, of this slide, you will see that there are three search fields, and they represent the three things that you can search inside of the website. Going to the list operations, below you, there are several components that present listings of information. So you have the last notes, last mapping, most viewed ontologies, and in certain parts of the website, you also get a list of all ontologies, all projects, and all sources, all resources. So different places of the website. Some operations that are allowed for the particular kinds of elements are add and update a project and add and update an ontology. One with an interface on the website, the other with a file upload. So if there is something wrong here, please correct me. Is there someone from BioPortal in the group?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So then, as there is no one from the group, I hope that they won't contradict me and say there are more functions that I did not find, but I think that these are the major actions that the user take from the first viewport, which is the one that we see here. Going to the content structure of OntoHub in the next slide, we see that OntoHub has less actions. We're going to go into detail on the actions, but it has four kinds of content. It has ontology, symbol, which is equivalent to the term of BioPortal, and logic and language. These are the three kinds of content that they use in the first page of OntoHub. If we go to ontology, there is the option of, especially if you logged in, of course, there are all these options. Search, add an update with a file upload, and list latest ontologies in the home screen, and test with Oops, which is a evaluation tool for ontology design. Then there is the tab, the symbols, which have the action of search. And then there is the tab logic, with the actions search, add and update with a form, and language also with search and add and update with a form. The symbols are searched in all ontologies inside of OntoHub, and there is no restriction being created right now. So, so recapitulating here, going back to all the summing everything that we talked up to now. So the BioPortal fits actually 90% of the screens, because 9% of the resolutions of screens that are used for web navigation have the resolution of 1024 pixels from width, and that is that it doesn't fit in this kind of screens. And if anyone of you want to see information about screen sizes, you can get inside of these w3schools.com, and you can see the progression of screen sizes throughout the years. It's a very good resources for planning the size of websites. Then there is the logo. It has a logo. It's recognizable. The name is clear. It is on the top left side of the website. So it's a good place to be. So that's a good example that could be used for our discussion later, if that is something that is relevant or not for our purpose. But this is in general designing, this is a good option. It uses an action structure that might be the best one for our purpose or not. Then we can discuss that also further. And the content types that it includes right from the front page is ontology, resource, term, and project. It also has mapping, but mappings are relationships between two instances. They may be foregrounded as they do. They may be backgrounded, and we can also discuss that in the further when we're talking about widgets. And then there are the action types. They implement a very large series of searching tools, like search, filter, list, list latest, list most viewed, which is very nice for all of those very nice ways of getting into the data. And then they have also add, update, and delete, login, and register from this front view. When comparing with OntoHub has less action types. It fits the screen. It does not have a logo in the sense of icon and text, and it's very difficult to identify that we are at OntoHub when we just get on the web page. The position is at least on the upper left corner, which is a typical position for names of websites, and it increases the chances of identification at the first glance, but it's more difficult if you compare the two. It's a bit more difficult than BioPortal. We are on the slide 9. So sorry if I forgot to tell that. And then when we look at the structure of the website, it is organized according to the content of the content types. So it has, if you look at the upper part of the website, the kinds of content are the labels that we find on the top of the black bar. So the content types are ontology, symbol, logic, and language. And the action types are search and list latest for the finding ontologies or the kinds of type or of content. And there are some actions such as add, update, delete, and test with groups for not only changing the content of the website, but generating content with the website with a master test with groups. And then there is the login and register as BioPortal. So these are some of the more general remarks that we can make about what is that we find inside of the web of these websites and what actions we can do with them. This is like the kinds of things that we are looking at this point in a very abstract design level. Now going to the next slide, I'm going to talk about more particular concrete parts of websites. I took here on the slide number 10 two screenshots of a photo application. We see that On the left side, we have a snippet of the photo, a small version of the photo, with some actions that you can do with the photo in that size. And then once we double click the photo, we get the second view, which is on the right side, and we get more controls for the photo. In the first case, we have one photo and among several others, so we have the chance of scanning for a photo that we want. In the second case, we can still navigate from a photo to another with the arrows on the top of the page of this widget, and with these arrows we can navigate to the previous photo or to the next. So these two kinds of presentations are very different in the actions that they afford. First, on the left side, we have a small version of the photo, which occupies a smaller space of in our screen, and you can view several other photos, snippets of photos. In the right side, we have only one single photo, and we can see more details of the photo and do more actions on this photo. So this is these two presentations of photos are present inside of the photo app. Both of them represent the same data. Both the photo on the left side and the photo on the right side, this red ball with stars, are the same photo inside of the application. They are two widgets that allow access and manipulation of the same photo. And then we are going to go to what a widget is. The next slide, number 11. So a widget is a mapping of an area of the screen of the user to a particular collection of information from the database. It can be several entities or one entity, which is called Bean, and it presents that information in some arrangement inside of this area of the screen. And it allows some actions, such as in the case of the previous slide, rotate. So the concept of widget is this unification of the model of the beam, the interface area and its view, and the control. These three together consist of widgets. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so very well put.
Okay. So then moving to the next slide, number 12, I'm going to show some small widgets that are presented inside of the websites that we've looked. The first one is a small widget presented by of a particular term presented by BioPortal. It has the term melanoma, the ontology from which it comes, National Cancer Institute Thesaurus. And in gray below this link, it has the IRI of the particular term, and then it has a written description of this term: a malignant, usually aggressive tumor, and some small actions that you can do below in green. The second one is the one presented by OntoHub for the American pizza. It is, I think that we need to improve that, I would say. And it is not very legible, but and it doesn't help very much as the BioPortal version. So the third one comes from the WordNet website. It as they present information in the form of a dictionary, they have this information of that that man is a noun, and that it has the definition in the ontology of adult male, and then it has a written explanation of this definition, an adult person who is male as opposed to a woman, and then following it there is an example, a textual example of how that would appear in a text. So, and then there is the version of from schema.org, which is very similar to the one presented by BioPortal. Now moving to the next one, I'm going to the slides went in the wrong order. I do not know how. Number 14. Okay. Can we go to 14?
We are there now. Yes.
Okay. So now I'm going to show the small readers for ontologies. They look very different from the ones used for terms. The three first ones are widgets presented for the same ontology, National Cancer Institute Thesaurus, on BioPortal. BioPortal has three presentations of it. Sometimes it has the acronym, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it has a number, which I do not know what it means. The seven, maybe it's the number of classes and or symbols inside of the ontology. I do not know. And the fourth one is the one presented by OntoHub. Has the name of the ontology and the IRI. Okay, now going back to the slide 13. Based on these small ones, one thing that we could do as a group would be to present to give proposals of widgets for the websites that are involved. And this would be an agreement on presentation and not on the implementation level. These are just examples of suggestions. It's not even a suggestion that should be made. But, these two small widgets, symbol small widget and ontology small widget would be, for instance, widgets based on the things that already exist and that we could come up with by merging all the options. These are not the ones that are the ones that we should use. It's just a proposal of mine. It's just showing what kind of presentation that we could use in order to agree upon a user interface or a common user interface. One thing that I've also placed here, which is the evaluation. Right now, all the websites are using absolute numbers of classes and absolute numbers of, in the case of OntoHub, absolute number of sentences in order to give the user some information of size of the ontology. As ontologies do not have the qualities of ontologies do not include only size. We could use this space for other things, such as whether the ontology is detailed or comprehensive, or whether it's stable or up-to-date, or useful or well-organized. So using concepts that are, from a user point of view, more, how do I say, more useful. So in the sense of presenting just absolute numbers, which is much easier to do if we are just, we are developing a website, might not be the best solution, and might even trigger the people uploading the ontologies to compete for larger ontologies, and which is not which might not be our goal. So this is like another small point about the widgets. Going to larger widgets on the page, on the slide number 15. I'm comparing here two large widgets for the class symbol. One from BioPortal and one from schema.org. OntoHub does not have any large widget for symbols. It only has large widgets for ontologies. So, the presentation of BioPortal is a nice example of usage of the space. It has a tree on the left side presenting the typology. And on the right side, it has, some information such as the preferred name, synonyms of it, and then definitions, and it has a detailed view of a particular class, which is the melanoma class. And inside of schema.org, we have a table, as in a database table, which has some information divided into kinds of values that this attribute accepts, and then it's very oriented into as if it were a Java API it's made for programmers, so it is organized as what are the properties defined by this class in the level of thing, in the level of person. It follows very closely a Java API, Java doc style of presentation. It also has a track. It uses a track instead of a tree for the typology. So a person is a subtype of thing, but we don't see the other types that are subtypes of thing or descendants of person. So these are options. It's simplified. It's easier to read than the one above, but it gives less information. So then going to the next slide, we get the 16th. And then we have large widgets for ontology. The first one is the widget from BioPortal, the second one from OntoHub. The large widget has, in the case of BioPortal, the first one, it has several tables in which they use the that represents the data which is inside of the database. So it reproduces the database here for us. It has ontology ID, it gives the ontology ID, acronym, the acronym, and then visibility, public, and so on. It gives the a table with the data of the ontology, a metadata. On the right side, there is another table for the metrics. It's very nice to reverse engineer the website, but we might find other ways of presenting this information to users. The second one from OntoHub is also not very not in its best form, but it has the information disposed without the outside of a table format. So you can see it has a kind of ontology system, single ontology, the name of the ontology, pizza, and then it has unknown / OWL2, and it has below, which is the language of the ontology, OWL2. Then there is the RRI below, some description of the ontology, and then a button, test with OOPS, and tabs with the content of the ontology, divided by the kinds of contents that the ontology carries, and the numbers that they of instances in that, of that type. So, for large widgets, I would have no way to give any start here presentation, but I open for discussion, taking everything that you talked up to now. What would be ways to go? So, do you think that it's a nice idea to have widgets as like printouts of widgets as models for going towards a common UI? Do you think that is a good idea?
From a development perspective, yeah.
Okay.
I think it also allows the flexibility for there to be kind of a uniform way of developing, but also being able to tailor certain aspects of functionality to different repositories.
Yes. And maybe actually already give a preview of the actions that other people are doing in order to see if that is an action that one would like to implement in their own ontology or not.
Again, the question I pose, Danielle,
yeah?
You may not have had time to see it, is right now we don't have a good understanding of what users are expecting to do when they come to a website or the UI.
Yes.
I think your analysis is very helpful in that regard, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have any user feedback, or we don't have surrogate users, if you like, other than ourselves, to suggest what you may want to do or not do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And user feedback is probably the best feedback that you will ever get. So I don't think that anything that we do in the design perspective, only conceptualizing what users would do, is going to be better than user feedback in any case. But having at least control of what are the actions that we are offering, and actually to be able to evaluate if these actions are helpful or not, that would be a first step, I guess.
I think we're just going to have to make some assumptions based on our collective knowledge and go from there. I have to presume that we're not, we sort of have a target audience of people who want to use ontologies as opposed to some voyeurs, I don't know, who are just sort of cruising the net looking for stuff or looking for something new to do.
Yes.
Does everyone agree that's a valid assumption we could make?
Yes, I think that is a very valuable assumption, because otherwise we are targeting people who are not interested in ontologies anyhow, and they are not going to take the time that ontology development is going to take. So it's not our target public.
Right. So then, given that assumption, it would seem to follow that the intended audience has an understanding of what these things mean, and then we don't necessarily have to strive for this perfectly intuitive type of interface.
That is a difficult assumption to make, because even though they might know what is that what everything means, they might
right.
not know what you mean by presenting an information to them. So,
okay, fair enough.
I would say that if there is no, let's say, label, term, or symbol, or something like that in the web page, and there is a search bar without telling what you should do, that might not lead to a very useful interface, even though the user knows that they are searching for a term.
Okay, fair enough. But what I was aiming to trying to suggest is that we're assuming we have some knowledgeable users, in which case we do not have to go to great efforts to make this absolutely intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you try and do that, then your design principles are a lot drastically different.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I would not say drastically different. I would say they are you are more free than you would be otherwise. So you don't need to explain, for instance, that what you're presenting to the user is a term melanoma from ontology so and so. You can just put melanoma hyphen and the name of the ontology, for instance.
Yeah. Well, I just spent several days with a human factors person devising a UI, and I think what I suggested earlier in terms of the principles you have to employ for a particular target audience to change.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So do we have any consensus on what we think should be there?
In the sense of detailed version versus if we should have a detailed version and a less detailed version of the same content, or what are the actions that the users are going to do?
Well, I was thinking more in terms of your slides on 7 and 8, where you distinguish between a content structure and an action, or 6 and 7, was it?
Okay.
Content structure versus action structure or a combination thereof.
Yes, yes.
Any views out there?
I think in some ways, though, Todd, you kind of hit an issue there. Is who are the users? Are these like ontology designers who are looking to do some reuse, or exactly what do they need to get out of that? And I think that kind of harkens back to some of our use cases, and that would we need to kind of remind ourselves exactly what those tasks were to kind of indicate how you want to be able to browse an ontology repository, how to search through it, what information of an ontology you need, things like that.
Well, were there about three or four distinct use cases? I don't remember, but if so, do we want to have different user experiences for each of those use cases, or do we want to try and merge them? And it looks like someone else has their hand up, so I'll be quiet.
Let's try to organize this discussion. But before we do that, Daniel, could you? I think we should finish this presentation before we open it to discussion.
So there is a last slide. The last slide, which is the going further from on the point of view of sharing efforts. So if we want to have guidelines, we would have printouts like a small GIF files or JPEGs with an example of view of views that we would present to the users. Another way of organizing the efforts would be to go a step further and share the code that presents the that makes these presentations. So several websites will be able to customize these codes that generate interface and would share this common UI. So, and then if that is a goal, I do not know if it is a goal, we would be able to use some server-side UI engines, some not only UI engines in this case, but several of these are content management as well, content management systems as well, and then and they provide some UI components that can be reused, and we could specify those UI components for our purposes. So among those are WordPress, Drupal, Joomla, Moodle, Typo3, Express Engine, and MediaWiki. So these are they offer some reusable code that we could specify, or we could go to a client-side UI perspective and have an interface that has that is completely separate from the server and uses the server just as a backbone for information. And in this case, we could have one single interface that would access several servers. And then we could use the GUID option and YUI option, which is the one from Yahoo. The first one is from Google, and the third, and also create a full website with jQuery. The option of in this right side, there are two asterisks with YUI. And on the jQuery, because for this purpose of creating a web app completely disconnected from the backbone, which is more suitable. So that is, and you can see so if anyone is interested in looking how it would work, there is like a good pros and cons below here if you are interested in looking at these possibilities. So that's the end of the presentation. Putting back.
Thank you very much, Daniel. That was very informative, and I think it really frames, I think, the discussion we're going to have for how we come up with a common UI.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It's now time for an open discussion. And I believe we have one person with a hand up. Alexandra?
Hello, yes. So I had a comment regarding the previous discussion that already started, but actually I think that's one of the points that needs to be discussed, and which probably we will talk about that today and maybe for some next meeting. So it's about users' feedback and the current state of user interfaces presented by Daniel today. I believe that BioPortal has very good experience and long-term experience also in collecting some feedback from the users. And in that respect, the current interface, which we can see in BioPortal, is built on certain kind of feedback received from the users. Of course, BioPortal users are a special target audience, and probably some ontology repositories such as Stones of Manchester have different target users. So in general, that kind of functionality of one particular ontology repository will also depend on the kind of users that one particular repository is targeting. But in general, from Daniel's presentation, I believe that what can be done is certain kind of agreement about minimal common features that any ontology repository should share. And I believe that regarding this kind of question, the problem might be divided to three or four basic smaller tasks that need to be considered. One of them can be what kind of minimal specification should be recommended for browsing. The second task is the same question about uploading, in particular regarding metadata. And the third task concerns metrics. So what kind of data every ontology repository should contain in a user interface. And probably some of these tasks will be dependent on the function of one particular repository, but I believe there might be achieved certain agreement about minimal features in respect of every of three mentioned aspects. And the third thing concerns that kind of free license or some kind of shared codes for ontology repositories. In general, features of OntoHub that Daniel presented are still in development, and many of features are not yet available, but programmers are working on that. And one of them is browsing of ontologies and uploading following categories, which I'm working on, like the divide ontologies according to the main subject. And that is also one of the topics that that might be relevant for general community and certain kind of agreement among, especially when we speak about interoperability of across repositories, because that kind of meta information will be important not only for browsing and uploading ontologies, but also for making interconnection and interoperability across ontology repositories. So that was my comment, and I don't know if you have anything else to add related to this.
Thanks. I think that's very helpful. Should keep that in mind. Peter has posted a little note on the chat concerning content accessibility guidelines, and that's definitely something we should take into consideration. But another thing I might mention is there is a kind of distinction between the skin and the widget.
Mm-hmm.
In MediaWiki, for example, there's a large number of skins that one can use that change the appearance of your UI quite a bit, actually, but it really doesn't change the functionality at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just arranging things a little differently on the screen. And I think that might also be related to these content accessibility guidelines, such as, you know, you might want to put in bigger fonts or something like that. I think we really need to separate the skin issue from the widget issue and maybe focus more on just the widgets.
Mm-hmm.
So then looking at the agenda, the suggestion here is that we look at these 4 points concerning the common UI. First of all, the shared data model,
mm-hmm.
the same set of operations over the data in the data model, agreeing on a default data component arrangement, and then hopefully reusing the same widgets.
Yeah.
We might also add the question about exactly how we're going to present a common UI. Daniel mentioned that we could use images or we could actually have a reference implementation on the server side or on the client side. And so that would be another issue that we would need. And then of course we need to specify, as Alexandra said, minimum reference specification for browsing, uploading, and metrics. So I think there are quite a number of issues that we need to address now. How are we going to approach this? I think one useful aspect of the existing ontology repositories is that we can look at them and see which ones worked well and which ones didn't. Which ones have a good, have a large user base and user feedback, and which ones presumably haven't had that benefit. And we can use that since we don't actually have the option of having a collection of stakeholders that would be involved with us in providing feedback and helping in the development process. We can just make use of those existing systems as a way of getting this information. So now Peter has his hand up. Would you like to take over, Peter, now?
Yes, right. I mean, essentially, I would suggest maybe we try to, since we probably only have about 15, 20 minutes left on the call, define what we want to walk out of this meeting with, obviously some shared understanding or some agreement. What would be the agreement? Alexandra's suggestion is good. The minimum set of common UI we want to implement. What are they? What is it like? Because before I came into this meeting, I was hoping at least by the time we have reached agreement, there will be some sort of common look and feel across disparate instances. Whether or not that is feasible is obviously subject to discussion, and maybe that discussion could be, is it feasible? And then if so, what would be the minimum set?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But I defer to Ken to facilitate this discussion and get us there.
Yeah. I mean, one thing we could certainly hopefully come out with is at least a list of those issues we need to address, even if we don't come to a decision on them. So that's one outcome we can have of this meeting. I don't know if we can come to any decisions right now, but we can at least try. Mm-hmm. Daniel, would you like to have
this
moment?
As a comment on the client side UI, in the case we would go for a client-side UI, we would not only have a example implementation, we would also have a way to connect to different repositories without reloading the page on the same page. We can go for a common interface up to this level, if you want.
Can you document that on the chat? That would be useful.
I think there's something really attractive about that, because then we can have what we've actually been doing up to now is focusing on the API for the basic components of an OOR. If we use a client-side UI, as you suggest, then one can make use of that API quite directly on the client rather than having now a server UI, and presumably then also you have to issue issues of what the client would be. But that's just my opinion. So I think I really do agree with you, Daniel, that it would be interesting to look into a client-side UI. Do you have experience with such UIs?
Yes. I've developed them before.
Oh, okay. Todd, do you have a comment?
Yes, Ken. I put a couple of notes in the chat box. And in terms of what Peter was asking for earlier about how to proceed, I think we need to go back to those use cases. Well, first, the first question I would have is, can we devise a set of widgets that provide particular functionality? And if you like, prior to that or in parallel, look at the use cases and identify particular pieces of functions, that you would expect to see in any UI, regardless of how the UI is composed.
Mm-hmm. Daniel, you actually have a list of all these different functions or actions, I think.
Yes,
is action the right term?
Yes, the actions for, I wouldn't say functionalities because they are actions we do on to change the to change either the presentation or the content of the website. But the they are better to be set as an action. If we want to talk about functionalities, we are talking about a group of actions that together achieve a particular goal for a particular user. Or a use case. So we have a use case, and then we have a series of actions that needs to be done in this or user interventions, if we want to say, in the so that the particular goal of the user is fulfilled.
Right, but my question was, do you have a list or
a list of actions, not of
a list of the actions that you have kind of culled from the various ORs, or actually just specifically from AntiHub.
And BioPortal, yeah.
And BioPortal, do you have actually such a list?
I have the list of the ones that involve either users or the main content types. The four main content types prominent content types on the website. I don't have a list for the whole website in the sense of I don't have a what are the actions that apply to resources and what are the all the actions that apply to resources and all the actions that apply to ontology and so on. I have just a sketch of that. But I could create one of those.
I think it'd be great if you could create such a list for us, and then we can collectively work on augmenting that list. In particular, and also, I mean, we can give it to people from these various repositories, especially BioPortal, to have them comment on it.
Yeah.
And augment the list.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great start to developing the common UI.
Yeah. And as Alexandra has pointed out, we should actually strive for a smaller list and not to a comprehensive one. Go towards a smaller one, which is the one that we think that are that needs to be common to all the websites and not go directly for the comprehensive that includes all. Does it make sense?
Yeah,
I totally agree. I totally agree.
So why don't you make the first draft of that, and then we'll we can distribute it around. How can we do this? This is going to be a kind of a collaboratively developed document.
Yes. So I can create a does everyone have access to Google Docs?
I guess you could assume that.
Yeah,
you can assume that.
Okay, so we can create a Google Doc and have everyone have access to to this document so that we can collaborate in the same file.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. You'll set that up for us and
Yes.
Certainly give everyone at this meeting access to it, but we should also invite other individuals to contribute to this. In particular, we really need to get feedback from BioPortal.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone has the email of everybody else in the website so that I can invite?
The OOR forum list would be best. Or there's an OOR dev list. Maybe you can start with today's attendees and add till. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, add till. It's not on today's attendees. And most of, if you go to the wiki page and click on people's names, generally you can find their email addresses if you
don't forget Mike Dean.
At Mike Dean and Till Mosikowski.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, I'd like to ask you specifically, are there any user interface aspects of Calore that are kind of special to its mission?
I think Mike left.
He left. He's on.
He put a note in the chat box a bit ago.
I just saw that. Sorry. We need to find out if Calore deals with common logic ontologies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does have its own user interface issues.
Okay.
So we definitely need to get feedback from Michael about these issues.
Okay. So should I enter in contact with him, or should we actually ask him to join this creation of the of the common document?
He's one of the attendees at this meeting, so certainly you want to include him, but make sure everybody who has access to this document is aware of it and try to get everyone to give their feedback.
Okay.
I think Michael in particular would be important because of, he has this experience with common logic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any? Can you think of anyone else who might be important in this effort that might not right now be involved in the OOR?
I actually would venture to say, any attempt of getting the BioPortal people engaged is going to be a challenge. That's why I would suggest, especially with those present today, I would say mainly falling into three different camps. Ken maybe representing the camp that is working on the OOR sandbox or production box instance, Michael working on the Calore instance, and Daniel, Oliver, Till working on the Onto Hub instance. And I guess if there's some shared agreement in terms of willingness and feasibility in terms of implementing a common UI or some common UI elements. I mean, we've got it. Trying to get BioPortal to agree or waiting for their feedback or providing our feedback to them probably will not be met with as much sort of responsiveness, at least at this present moment. I know they have completely different priorities. So I would suggest we just go with shared understanding between these three groups, the OR, let's say OR, Sandbox, Production Box, OntoHub, and Calore.
And leave
BioPortal out. I mean, just keep them posted, kind of a thing, rather than sort of having them as part of the critical path.
I'm just talking about this document. I mean, it probably wouldn't be that hard for them to just look at it.
If you can convince them, yes, sure.
maybe able to do that. But what about, are there any other groups? I mean, W3C seems to have an ontology repository. You see these other Swoogle and so on that are out there. I don't know how active they are. Swoogle is, has anything been done on Swoogle since 2007?
I don't think so.
So I'm just asking if anybody knows about any other groups that might be advantageous for us to contact to get additional feedback and user experiences.
There is WordNet, which is usually open to collaboration. They actually make collaboration with several people all over the world, and they have a large user base in the sense of developers to go to the website to use WordNet, and they have many people using their ontology for research purposes. So I think that they might get, if they are not willing to participate, they might at least give us some feedback on their experience.
Right. I'm not looking for active participation. Just just look at what we have and perhaps give us some small feedback. So WordNet might be interesting to contact. Okay, great. So the time is up. I think we accomplished a great deal. Especially want to thank Daniel for all your work on developing this presentation and bringing us up to speed on user interface issues. Is there any other new business? Any other business?
Mm-hmm.
If not, then I believe we can adjourn.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.